高声歌陪歌内唱天路歌唱一曲曲
Do you want to do Vajrasattva?
No, so now we have only two class left, one more class left. So let's go and jump on. Okay.
So we can do the mandala offering then on page 97.
Selflessness.
Yeah.
Right. So the first one, probably you all probably know now, we all this cover like first three systems, no systems. This first one, first selflessness. So vibhasika, sarvastantika, those, you know, this considers like subtle selflessness. In this case, pasangika system, this is like gross selflessness. So then the subtle selflessness, the second one, kansaki, kasa dembetomba, kansaki dhammatoga, as the person in empty of inherent existence, there's a subtle selflessness. And other than that, all the selflessness listed before, before pasangika systems. So all the subtle selflessness in this system is considered, all of them considered like gross selflessness. Only subtle selflessness here in this system is person empty of inherent existence. So the day time is of the rabba that tells him the same as this is of a chicken that may rabba. The same as a rabba. So then, after that, there's like a subtle selflessness, a phenomena from the mind only school point of view. So, vivasika, sastantika, they don't talk about selflessness of phenomena. They only talk about selflessness, person or self. So mind only school, they talk about selflessness of person, not just that, also they talk about selflessness of phenomena. So this one, from their point of view, this is like subtle selflessness of phenomena. But in a pasangika system, this is the gross selflessness of phenomena. It's not subtle. So then, the aggregate, then what is like subtle selflessness phenomena in pasangika system? That is aggregate, which is the basis for the self. The the aggregate empty of inherent existence, this is the subtle selflessness. Okay? The second one. Dazi pumbo dembe dama shiyo dama tomo jom. Dame nye toji kone cheba inji so. Dazi kone mijis. So those two types of selflessness. Selflessness of person. Then you can call selflessness, or you can call subtle selflessness of person and the subtle selflessness of phenomena. Doesn't matter, you can call either way, you can call those two types of selflessness differentiate based on the basis. One first one basis is person or self. Second basis the aggregate. So these are differentiate based on the base, not differentiate based on the object to be negated. So other than this system, all the mind only systems, vivasika, sastantika, all those systems, they differentiate selflessness based on the object to be negated, not on the basis. Same in mind school. Because here, whether you talk about selflessness of person or selflessness of phenomena, the object to be negated is the same. It's like inherent existence, Inherent existence. There's no subtle or gross is the same. There's no difference. Only they differentiate two types of selflessness, differentiate based on the base. Not the basis on the object to be negated. So these are differentiated based on the object to be negated, negated. That's been done in the vibhasika system, sarvastantika system, mind-only system. Dame ni toji kone chepa, gaje kone mijete, she comes out in the gadget demo to work over Kazaka Tamuda, she puts in the gadget demo to Kazaka Tamuda. Reason, inherent existence, when you, when you negate that on inherent existence, when you negate that on self, that's selflessness. When you negate that on aggregate, not just aggregate, all other phenomena besides self. If you negate inherent existence on the prayer will, there's you know, selflessness of phenomena. That's the reason. Because there's, bottom line, there's object to be negated, there's no different, the same object. Only the base are different. Oh. They look at the Kazakh Dhamma Tamura, she put the Kazakh Dhamma Tamura. Dandi, maybe when it's a bandage, the same question of mind. So the opposite, like grasping mind, self-grasping mind, the mind, this mind that sees self is self is absolute inherent. That's another grasping mind. Then the mind that sees aggregate as something inherent, absolute. There's a second type of grasping mind. These two types of grasping mind differentiate based on object. Object one is like self, one is like aggregate. Oh? It's not different between how they perceive the object, because they both perceive object as something inherent, absolute existence. Okay. So now, can you read in English to me? So that section is finished now.
They assert a gross selflessness of persons, that is, a person's emptiness of being self-supporting or substantially existent, and a subtle selflessness of persons, that is, a person's emptiness of true existence. They posit a gross selflessness of phenomena, that is, the emptiness of a gross object composed of partless particles, and the valid cognizer apprehending it being of other substances, and a subtle selflessness of phenomena, that is, the emptiness of true existence of the aggregates, the basis of imputation.
Finish? Yeah, so it's clear, right? It's clear? Yeah, no need to explain. It's clear. I will explain.
Did you want me to finish that whole section?
The whole section.
I'm sorry.
That's why I thought that usually there's more words in English.
Yeah.
So I thought now this time there's more words in Tibetan. No.
I'm sorry, I guess we got two more paragraphs.
Yeah, whole section.
The two subtle selflessnesses are differentiated according to their bases of emptiness and not according to their objects of negation, because the refutation of the object of negation, true existence upon the base, person, is the subtle selflessness of persons. And the refutation of the object of negation, true existence upon the base, the aggregates, is the subtle selflessness of phenomena. The two subtle self-graspings are differentiated according to their referent objects and not according to their manner of grasping, because referring to the base, person, and grasping it as truly existent is the subtle self-grasping of persons, and referring to the base of imputation, the aggregates, and grasping them as truly existent is the subtle self-grasping of phenomena.
Is it clear? I already explained. You have any questions?
Pass.
You pass? Okay. Oh, yeah. So then now the number seven. Yeah.
Let me see if I understand this. Manner of grasping, because referring to the base, the person, and then they go on and referring to the base of imputation, the aggregates, and grasping the aggregates as true existence is subtle self-grasping of phenomena, but person also has aggregates.
Aggregate belongs to person. What is your question?
Well, here they're using it as phenomena.
Yeah, when you say che kansa means person. Che means all other phenomena. That's called phenomena. But that does not mean person is not phenomena. So when you talk about person and phenomena, when you talk about person and che phenomena, person kamsa. So there's a difference. When you say chodan kamsa, there's a difference. Generally speaking, everything is phenomena. Person is also phenomena. When you talk about person and phenomena, so in that case, phenomena means existence besides self. You know, so the meaning change, meaning of the phenomena change. When you're comparing person and phenomena, so in that case, phenomena means existence beside person. So then...
So when they say aggregates there, they're not referring to the aggregates of a person.
Yeah, that's what they're referring to. Yeah.
They're not. They're
just, they are. Yeah.
Okay.
The aggregate of the person is not the person, it's phenomena. It's not a person. Aggregate, the person is not a person.
But they're referring to the aggregates of the person here when they say the aggregates and grasping them as truly existent is the subtle self-grasping of phenomena.
Right.
So they're talking about person and phenomena or just phenomena?
Well, like mind that grasping self is inherent existence, that's one grasping mind.
Right.
Another one, aggregate, grasping aggregates as truly existence. There's like another type. There's two types of grasping mind, and there's two types of selflessness. One is selflessness of person. One is selflessness of phenomena.
That I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying when they're talking about the selflessness of phenomena here, they're including grasping the aggregates. So those aggregates are not.
No. When they talk about selflessness of phenomena. Yeah, they are talking about the emptiness of aggregate. Is it clear?
Nobody else has an issue with this? I'm the only one? Then I can just be quiet.
No. Say, that doesn't matter. If two people have an issue or three people, it doesn't matter.
Well,
so.
I can just live with it. But there's this differentiation between the selflessness of person and the selflessness of phenomena.
That's correct.
Selflessness of person... I think that's kind of obvious. Then they're saying the aggregates. They're talking about the person's aggregates, right?
Yeah.
The aggregates and grasping them as truly existence is the subtle self-grasping of phenomena.
Yeah, that's correct.
So phenomena there includes person or no?
Huh? Oh,
so phenomena there includes person or no? You said it's very different, phenomena.
No, in this case, when you say phenomena, the person does not include.
Okay, so my
it's like
my
that's
problem.
Why I'm saying, like, phenomena means existing beside person.
Okay, so then the problem I keep coming to is it says the aggregates, which you're saying is the person. The aggregates.
No, the aggregates is not person. It belongs to a person, but it's not persons.
Okay. So we're talking.
Your aggregate is not you.
Okay, so, but this is the subtle selflessness of phenomena, so we're including my aggregates.
Yeah, the emptiness of your aggregate, that's called, let's just make it short. Emptiness of your aggregate is called subtle selflessness of phenomena.
Okay.
Emptiness of your self is called subtle selflessness of person.
Okay, but that just seems very funny to me, because this, we're saying the self, is based on the base of that self is the aggregates.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we're saying then,
the self
is based on
phenomena?
Huh? Self is
dependent on phenomena?
No.
Self is based on phenomena?
Is the self dependent on phenomena then, which are also
aggregates? Yeah, self is dependent on phenomena is dependent on aggregate. No, phenomena is not dependent on aggregate. Phenomena means aggregate is just an illustration of the phenomena. Phenomena means the existence besides self. Everything is called phenomena. When you say this two words together, self and phenomena, generally speaking, everything is phenomena, right? Self is phenomena. Phenomena means existence. Existence. Phenomena means existing, right? Phenomena means existing. Yeah, so we call che. That's how they translate it. Phenomena means, che means existence, generally speaking. No, che means existence. So that means person exists, aggregate exists, every existing things are phenomena. But when you talk about phenomena and a person, so then the meaning, say, then the definition of change. So then means existing besides self, that's called phenomena. Not just that, everything existing besides self, table, travel, everything is phenomena. Then self, if you ask, okay, self is phenomena, then in this case, no, it's not phenomena. But generally speaking, then it is phenomena. Because, object. When you talk about object and subject, so object, meaning of object change. Generally speaking, object means you means like, you know, also mind can be object too, right? Mind can be object. Mind has to be seen by some mind, right? Mind can be object. So when you talk about subject and object, so that object is existence beside consciousness, mind. The mind is not object. Generally speaking, everything is object. Make sense? Generally speaking, everything is object. When you talk about object and subject, so then meaning of object change. So that means existing beside consciousness. That's called object. And consciousness is called subject. Generally speaking, both of them are object, but you know, when you talk about object and subject, then meaning change. Same. When you talk about phenomena and self, in that case, meaning of phenomena change. Generally speaking, everything is phenomena. So in this case, when you say phenomena, that means existing beside self. So the mind, that grasping on aggregate, that's just illustration. You can say, you don't have to say aggregate, you can say glass, you can say prayer well. Mind that grasping on the prayer well, that's called subtle, the subtle self-grasping phenomena. Then mind that sees self is an inherent existence, then there's another subtle self-grasping mind. Now move on. Now number 7, Salamji Namja, presentation of ground and path. Pangja, abandonment, then actual presentation of ground and path. Tamuji Danzi, Tala Sabina Chevadanji. What is abandonment? Then there's like all this, you know, gross and subtle grasping mind with their tendency or seed. Seed with the seed and that also, you know, also tendency that, you know, led by those mind. Tiongi Paja, Sabina Chevadanji Nijib. That's called now anybody remember there's two types of obscurations? What is called?
Obscuration to omniscience.
Obscuration to
Nirvana. Yeah.
Liberation. Oh, obscuration. So anyway. Self-grasping mind together with the seeds. These are obscurations mainly for obscuring individual to achieve moksha or nirvana. Okay. Then all this, you know, attachment together, all this, you know, like disturbing thought caused by this self-grasping mind, these are also called obscurations to achieve nirvana. So mainly interrupt individual to achieve liberation. The tendency of grasping mind, you know, what do you call? Some students can read that.
Gross and subtle self-graspings, together with their seeds, as well as attachment and so forth, the delusions, together with their seeds that arise due to the power of self-grasping, are deluded obstacles that mainly obstruct the attainment of liberation.
The second one?
The propensities of grasping at true existence.
Yeah, grasping of true existence, they call denji, okay. Grasping of true existence, the tendency of grasping of true existence, then?
And all parts of the mistaken dualistic appearance that arise?
Dualistic appearance. So the dualistic, the meaning of the dualistic here in Prasangika system is more subtler than dualistic, definition of dualistic in this Vibhasika system, Sastantika system, mind-only systems. So here dualistic refers to, generally speaking, when they talk about dualistic, they mean like object and subject, seeing them are two different things. Because in the mind-only school, they really, you know, there's like arguments, you know, so it's not like really something object external here. What we are seeing is we are seeing part of our consciousness. Part of our consciousness, that's what we're seeing. Then we, that level, there's a prayer will, but actually it's part of, if you don't analyze, yeah, one object everybody sees, when you analyze, when you thoroughly analyze, then that's part of your consciousness. So in that case, dualistic view means object is there, subject is here. There's a dualistic view. When you analyze, there's no subject, object is not there, subject is not here. It's like it's the same. Basically, one consciousness divided into two. The one becomes observer, one is like object to be observed. You know, that's like if you totally analyze that. So in that case, Chukila and me, we don't see the same prayer well, you know. And even though, not like, you know, I see this, Chukila don't see, didn't see that. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, even though we look at the same side of the prayer well, we both look, but we see differently. We don't see same. It's hard to believe, but this, like, that includes everything, details and everything, you know, like what I, the way I see, the way you see is different. Maybe, not talking about the vision, but you know, it's like, see different. Here, dualistic, in this Prasangika system, dualistic is much more subtler because dualistic is not like seeing object is something outside, subject from inside. That's not that kind of dualistic. Dualistic means seeing conventional reality. That's one dualistic. Then seeing them as like something truly existence. No, these are the dualistic. So just want to explain that. Not to participate, didn't it? So that will be obscure. Mainly obscure individual to achieve, you know, great enlightenment. So we all know enlightenment, in the tenet, enlightenment does not mean Buddhahood, right? Enlightenment. When you say great enlightenment, so that's Buddhahood, huh? Tevasumji khansamdam pangje gumje tawala thumi chava mede, so. So in Prasangika system, not Prasangika system, Vibhasika, Sastantika, mind-only school, there is like, when it comes down to view, that's like, how you say, superiority? How you say, superiority? What is it? Superiority. Some of them are better, some of them are higher.
Superiority.
Superiority, something like that. Whatever it is, whatever you call that. So like, you know, the Hinayana, like the, so maybe read this part the better in English. Tebasunji, can you read that after?
There is no difference in terms of superiority among the views that are the objects of meditation of persons of the three vehicles. There is no difference in terms of superiority among the views that are the objects of meditation of persons of the three vehicles.
Does it ring any bell? In like as a hearer, in hearer. So we are talking about hearer, self-realizer, Mayana, the three vehicles. Hearer, their view of view.
The object of meditation.
The view, the view.
The objects of meditation.
The object of meditation.
Of the person of the three vehicles.
The object of meditation of the person of three vehicles refers to hearer, self-realizer, Mayana. Hearer, their
objects of meditation.
The object of meditation is selflessness. Then self-realizer, their object of meditation is dualistic, I don't know how to say in English. So then Mayana, that's like empty of inherent existence. That's the best. Empty of inherent existence. That's the Mayana object of meditation is empty of inherent existence. So there, in hearer path, you know, there's like selflessness, there's one gross and subtle. If you recall, if you remember the materials, now you know what we are talking about. If you don't remember the materials, then probably you go blank. We all go blank. So we already studied that. Can you? Tepa sumji khasa gumje tal thame chewa meje te sumji khasa ke dame si dame thamu gumje sawa chewa sumbi shi. So now can you please continue?
So there's no difference in terms of superiority because all three are alike in taking as their main objects of meditation subtle selflessness of persons and subtle selflessness of phenomena. There are differences with regard to their main objects of abandonment. Because hearers and solitary self-realizers take as their main objects of abandonment the two self-graspings together with their seeds, and bodhisattvas take as their main objects of abandonment the propensities of self-grasping.
Is it clear? Makes sense? John? If it makes sense, then we'll move on.
Did you want me to read this question?
Yeah. So now almost done, almost finished, yeah. Then please continue, you know?
Nirvana without remainder is a suchness distinguished by the abandonment of the two self-graspings and their seeds in the continuums of hearers and self-realizer foe-destroyers.
Just got this now, just got this. The second one is not the Niran Rajum. Niran Rajum Nyamsha Bijiji. Dandu Sabini, Cheba Pombe, Cheba Tibi, Tini Hamina, this year. Can you read now?
Nirvana without remainder?
Yeah, so there's another one. Nirvana without remainder. Nirvana with remainder. So there's only in hearer path. Hearer path, Mayana, there's no those sort of things. In the hearer path, I think, Nirvana without reminder, what it means? It means, so you meditate or practice, so then within this body, you meditate. and you manage to liberate yourself from samsara. So first one, nirvana is called nirvana with remainder. Remainder means you already achieved nirvana, but you still have this body. Body, the remainder refers to body, physical body. Huh? So now, then when you pass away, when you pass away, so basically, very dangerous, you know. So there's a lot of argument. You know, when you pass away, then you don't lose nirvana. Once you achieve nirvana, you will never lose, no matter what kind of physical form you take, you still have nirvana. So when you pass away, so then you still have nirvana, then nirvana is called nirvana without reminder. Reminder refers to the physical body. You don't have the physical body. So now there's sometimes they say also that everything sees the body, the physical body, of course all the aggregate sees. There's no when we die. So then some of them say, okay, now all the consciousness also sees too. So there's a lot of debate back and forth. So we don't need to go there. So there's more headache. So now nirvana with remainder. Remainder refers to the aggregate, okay, aggregate or body. Can you? Nirvana rajum nyamsha vi jujizu. Nyamsha dandu sabi, dandu ni sabi da cheba. That's the So this the right what I explained. Nirvana with reminder, nirvana without reminder, the explanation I just gave you, this is a basis on vibhasika, self-tantrika, mind-only school. Okay? So now here, then nirvana with reminder, without reminder, definitely changed a little bit. Doesn't have to be reminder, doesn't refer to the aggregate. Okay? This is the clear one. Okay? So you already achieve, you know, you already free yourself from the samsara, but you are still in meditative equipoise. Meditative equipoise, you are still deep in meditations. So with that nirvana that you possess, that's called nirvana without reminder. Oh, okay. So reminder doesn't have to do anything to do with the aggregate. So what I explained, that that's like the meaning of the nirvana with remainder, without remainder, refers to aggregate, that's based on vivastika system, sarastantika system, mind-only system. Here, definition change. Here, nirvana without remainder, that means nirvana, the being, you know, who achieved nirvana, and is still in deep meditative equipoise, no? So that nirvana is called nirvana without reminder. So then when you come out of that meditative equipoise, you are still possessed nirvana. That nirvana is called magical nirvana with reminder. Oh. So that definitely changed. So I don't want you to get surprised when you see, you know, there's a detail of the tenet. This tenet is very short. There's one tenet they study in the Ganden Monastery called Tudashimu, Great Tenet. So that has like probably a couple hundred pages because it's very detailed. So I don't want you to be surprised, you know, so when you see two different definitions of nirvana with reminder, nirvana without reminder, I don't want you to get confused. Next time when you read some other materials, there's two different definitions, you know. Same definitions, vivastika, swastantika, mind only, then there are different definitions in the Pasankika sessions. Oh yeah. Tambu in Dhanagwa. Can you read that now?
Nirvana without remainder is a suchness distinguished by the abandonment of the two self-graspings and their seeds in the continuums of here and self-realizer foe-destroyers in meditative equipoise.
Oh yeah, so now that makes sense? Yeah, to me?
And nirvana with remainder is the same kind of suchness in the continuums of here and self-realizer foe-destroyers in the post-meditation state.
In post?
post-meditation
state. Yeah, post-meditation state. You are already come out of the meditation state. That tambunyi ni ringi betiji. Tambunyi ni ringi. Tambunyi ni ringi betiji. Ni ringi na juu ni juu pamoja tangu. Sajabato watiniums. When you talk about here, ground, so then here, ground is 10 bhumi, okay? 10 bhumi. This is only in Maya, not Maya vehicle. There are three vehicles, like hearer vehicles, self-realizer vehicle. There's no bhumis. Bhumis is only in the Maya vehicles. So the first bhumi started out of five paths, path of preparation, path of accumulations, path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, path of meditative, path beyond learning. That's the 15 of them, right? Five belongs to Mayana, five belongs to self-realizer, five belongs to hearer. There's a 15 set. These are called path, 15 set of path. That is called ground. So ground, so in Mayana, when you enter into Mayana path, first one is path of accumulations, then path of preparations, then path of seeing, then from there, 10 bhumis start. From there, all the bhumis are Arya being, you know, all the bhumis. Before path of seeing, there's no bhumi. The path of seeing, the bhumis start from there. There are two different types of individuals. So, before we actualize any path, you know, there's 15 set of paths, right? 15 set of paths. So when you actualize path, you are, some people, they enter into the hearer path. In the beginning, there's too much for them to think about happiness of all living beings. There's too much. So they just want to liberate themselves. So they enter into the hearer path. Path of accumulations, path of preparations, and slow, so they're changing their mind. Oh, maybe, you know, I should not pursue this. This is just for myself. I want to actualize some path that benefits all living beings. Then you change. Then you enter into minor path, path of accumulation, path of preparations. There's one way to enter minor path. And some person, right from the beginning, they don't go through there. Right from the beginning, they enter into minor path. That's called tambunyini teji ringi baso. So now that probably term will make little sense. Can you read that, please, Chukla?
Holders of the Mahayana lineage who are definite in the lineage from the very first.
Okay, definite. How is it definite?
Definite in the lineage.
In the first. First means out of 15 paths. They don't go to any other path. They just right from the beginning, they come to the Mahayana path. They enter into Mahayana path. First, they enter into mind of just fast. Definite, they are not going to change their mind. They will go all the way to enlightenment. So they will not enter into the mind of that. Or then maybe path of, oh, there's too much, I'm going to give up bodhicitta. So I want to go ahead of it. Read definite ringing about. So can you read it again, please?
Holders of the Mahayana lineage are definite in the lineage from the
holders of now see. Holder of the Mahayana lineage. What is the Mahayana lineage? There's a great compassion. Great compassion, that's the Mahayana lineage. If someone who possesses great compassion, universal compassion, that person is a, how is it?
Holder of the Mahayana lineage.
Holder of the teaching regimes. That person is called teaching regime, and that person is holder of the Mahayana lineage. Mahayana lineage refers to the great compassion. So,
So holders of the Mahayana lineage who are definite in the lineage from the very first abandon deluded obstacles and attain the eighth ground simultaneously and they abandon.
This particular individual is going to abandon all the
deluded obstacles.
Deluded obstacle means in this case now it's different. In Mahayana Prasangika system, a deluded obstacle, that means all the disturbing thought, we are not talking about the tendency. Tendency is different. All the disturbing thought, everything that's like has the afflicted mind, delusions. Not talking about tendency. All the all the afflicted minds. When that person sees this particular being, when he or she sees all the deluded mind, when that person achieves the eight bhumi, then all the deluded mind has been seized, afflicted mind has been seized. In this case, if you enter right from the beginning, if you enter into the higher path, when you cease, when you achieve path beyond learning, that's the only way you cease. See, definitely you see.
Well, I just would think it'd be hard to know the first.
Huh? First bhumi?
No, you enter into that lineage from the very first.
Very first means out of 15 path. That's the 15 set, right? Path of accumulation, path of preparations, path of seeing, path beyond learning, path of meditative, path beyond learning. 5 associated with error. 5 associated with the self-realizer. 5 associated with the mind realizer. So that first means you have choice. You have choice. You can enter into higher path right from the beginning, or you can enter into the minor path right from the beginning. So first means that person choose right from the beginning, or first choose to enter into minor path.
Even beginning of that life, because otherwise you might have been on a year. I mean, how do you know it's the first meaning of that life?
Yeah.
Because, you know, last lifetime the person may have been here.
No. That last life doesn't matter what life, doesn't matter. The very first time when they try to actualize path, so that was that person is actualizes minor path first. So that you are wondering.
To say the first, even since we're talking about many lifetimes that a person has.
That person may never generate any path at all. It doesn't matter how many lifetimes. So this is just like, it only started when you actualize the path.
But so let's say I'm the person, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actualizing the Mahayana path,
mm-hmm,
for the first.
Yeah.
But it could be last lifetime I was on the here path, and I finished all those, and it looked like the first.
No.
No, there would be a record?
So I don't think that if you already actualized the path in the past life, you are wondering that somebody already actualized the higher path and not knowing what path they actualized?
No, they might not.
No, once you generate, it's like understanding path and generating path, there's two different things. Right? Understanding, yeah, we all understand higher path, self-realizer path, minor path, but actualizing means that you generate, you are path of accumulation, you are the holder of the path of accumulations. You have that path.
Okay. So you weren't on anything before, just all of a sudden.
Yeah, so we are not on that. If you are on that path, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not on. So if you are on, so then I cannot say you are not on or on. No. That's not true. No.
Okay.
So now say it again.
Say the same thing again?
No. Like what is your like?
What am I thinking?
Yeah.
I'm thinking. It just seems unusual that the person would be entering it for the first time, and maybe I'm just not understanding the...
Not the first time understanding of the path, but the first time generating path, actualizing path. Not understanding, yeah, you maybe understood all this Lam Rim before, you maybe all studied. That's different. Actualizing means like developing path within your mind stream. First time. Even though you have choice of either higher path or minor path, you choose to walk for all living beings. So you have right from the beginning, you are thinking big. You are thinking something big. So then for you is not burden. Some people can't even think all sentient beings. Oh, that's too much. I just want to liberate myself. So then they enter into higher path. That's exactly what they do. They are not worried about happiness of another sentient being. They are just worried about their well-being.
So if a person who actualized those other paths, and then they, after many lifetimes, moved to the Mahayana path,
If they change their mind.
So they, in other lifetimes, they actualize these other paths, right?
Mm. That can happen. In this life, you enter into heaven path, right? In this life.
But I'm just thinking, like, lifetimes that I'm, like, if somebody actualizes those other paths in other lifetimes, then in this lifetime, they're choosing the Mahayana path to actualize, not just to understand and study like me, but to actualize.
Unless you change your mind. If you don't change your mind, that's not going to happen. You continue the path.
Really? But eventually that person moved to the next path, right? You just evolve.
Yeah, eventually will be like, say, when you reach a path beyond learning, there's so much joy to be generated, you can probably live there like many, many eons.
Okay.
Eventually, yeah, if you want to achieve great enlightenment, there's a Mahayana path, that's the only way.
So the person who's entering the Mahayana not for the first time, right?
Mm.
Not this definition. The person who's actualizing the Mahayana path, they would know that other lifetimes I actualized those paths, and now so it's not really the first. It's like it's accumulation of other lifetimes.
No, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. No, right from the beginning, if they are actualizing, because knowing their choice. Knowing there's no three different vehicles is there. Knowing them, not just knowing them very well, how to practice them, but intentionally choose Mahayana path first time. So then you are like something like that, and that person already actualized had a path before. Huh?
Yeah, I'm just asking. Like,
yeah, that doesn't exist at all. That doesn't exist at all. Doesn't exist. So what is exist? You enter right from the beginning. You are actualizing heaven path. You could change your mind. Oh, maybe now I should, enter into minor path. That happens. Then they leave the heaven path. Then they enter into minor path. That happens.
And so, just to make sure I understand, it doesn't happen that people actualize those other paths and then eventually move to the Mahayana path in other lifetimes. That does not happen.
That happens.
What is the thing that doesn't happen?
Right from the beginning, if you choose enter into Mahayana path, so that individual then never actualized any path.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay, that I get. But
that doesn't exist.
It's just hard for me to get this because it seems like one thing leads to another. Things are based on something else. So it's like this can't be like the first time that I'm studying Buddhism, right? So right from the beginning is the thing that trips me.
Oh, that's very understandable. That's probably not the first time you're studying Buddhism. That makes completely sense. But when you're actualizing path, entering into one of the paths, that's the first time. You never actualized before.
Okay.
If you already actualized before, then you don't call it first time.
Right.
That's not the first time.
Right.
That's no.
Then
that's like continuations.
Right.
Like maintaining.
I get it. And then the other, you wouldn't actualize all those other paths and then this lifetime be actualizing the Mahayana path.
Yeah, no. So let's go. Because right from the beginning, you felt this tremendous compassion towards all living beings. So that means you are, like about to hold Mahayana lineage, about to become Mahayana lineage holder. And some people, right from the beginning, they don't have that kind of compassion for all living beings. They just don't. Can you? Okay, so now see, first time actualizing Mahayana path, where you're going to be free from all this afflicted mind when you reach eight bhumis. After that, what's your challenge? After that, your challenge is obscurations towards omniscience. That's your challenge. 9, 10. The 10, that's the last stage of sentient beings. Then you are very close to enlightened beings. There's 8 bhumis, there's 2 bhumis, 9 and 10. And the end of the 10 bhumis, then early morning, then you will achieve enlightenment. That's now the last 2 stages of being sentient beings. Then after the 10 bhumis, then you're enlightened. So there, now you already overcome another challenge, obscuration for all the afflicted mind is already free. So now you have this dualistic tendency with the dualistic. That's your challenge. that mainly obscure individual to achieve enlightenment. No? So that, then you challenge that. 9 bhumi, 10 bhumi, you challenge them, then you are free from those two obscurations, then you become great enlightenment. So now great enlightenment means freedom from both obscurations. No? Great enlightenment. So then, is it the only way that you're free from all the afflicted mind? No. If you enter right from the beginning, if you enter into higher path, so you don't have to achieve 8 bhumi, this is like somebody choose right from the beginning, choose the minor path. So then where he or she is going to cease all the afflicted mind, when she or he reach 8 bhumi, that's where they cease. But this is not the only way. If somebody chooses right from the beginning, higher path, then that person has also a possibilities to cease all the afflicted mind. Where? Only here. Path of accumulations? No. Path of preparation? No. Path of seeing? No. Path of meditation? No. Path beyond learning. When you liberate it, then you are free from all the afflicted delusions. But you still have dualistic view with the tendencies. No? So you are free from one aspirations that mainly obscure you to achieve liberations. But you already achieve liberations, then you are free from there, all that. So if you choose right from the beginning, higher path, so you cease here. If you choose right from the beginning, from the minor path, you don't need to go all the way here. You go here, path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, then there's first bhumi, second bhumi, third bhumi, then there's the 8 bhumi, then you cease. No? You don't have to reach here, 8 bhumi cease. Then when you reach here, then you are free from both aspirations. Make sense? Huh? Thank you.
I was writing down what you said before, so I missed.
Yeah, please say again. What?
Say that again.
If you are entering the first time, entering the Mayana path, where you are going to cease all the afflicted mind delusion, same. Delusions means, delusion does not include tendency. Tendency, delusion means like afflicted mind with the seat. That's called delusion. So, where you cease the delusions, when you reach 8 bhumi, 8 bhumi, you cease. Completely is free, you're free. If you choose to enter the first time into the higher path, where you see now this delusion, where you see when you reach path beyond learning. No? In the minor path, you don't have to reach path beyond learning. Bhumi start from the path of seeing, from there the bhumi start. So when you reach 8 bhumi, so you are not still. You are still in the path of, you know, meditative, somewhere there. You are not part of your learning. So then you sit there. Make sense? Yeah.
Yes, I could ask a question.
Yeah.
About the dualistic subtle view.
Mm.
When you're talking about that, are you saying that you're capable of seeing conventional and ultimate truth at the same time? Or when we talk about the dualistic subtle, the subtle dualistic view.
Yeah, in this mind, prasangika system, dualistic, in the first three systems, dualistic means object and subject, there's distance between object and subject, that's the dualistic. And here, that's not dualistic, definitely change. Dualistic means seeing like, the person. Not the person, we are talking about mind. No, when you talk about dualistic, we are talking about mind. We are not talking about the person who holds the mind. We are not talking about that. The person has dualistic view all the time. Till you reach enlightenment, then you are free. We are talking about dualistic, free or not free. We are talking about particular mind. Right? In the prasangika systems, only mind that's free from dualistic mind, dualistic view is the meditative equipoise, meditative equipoise. That's the only mind is free from dualistic view. Because that What he sees, he only sees emptiness. He does not see conventional truth. He does not see inherent existence. What he sees is only emptiness. Therefore, that mind is free from dualistic view. Dualistic refers to conventional reality and inherent existence. So that meditative ego poise, the meditative on emptiness, that meditative ego poise mind is free from that dualistic view. Far as a person is concerned, when you come out of that, you have dualistic view. Not like so then when that is going to cease, when you see true truth simultaneously, when you're able to see true truth simultaneously, then you are free as a person, not just mind, as a person, you're also free from dualistic view. Then that means you are enlightened. So in that, you cannot, if you are not able to see true truth simultaneously in an enlightened state. Because obscuration, there's a dualistic view. When you enlighten, then you see truth simultaneously. Before that, you do see truth, you see conventional truth, you see emptiness, but you don't see them simultaneously. Now can you read now, good news, tenet is officially complete.
Holders of the Mahayana lineage, you are definite in the lineage from the very first, abandon deluded obstacles and attain the eighth ground simultaneously. And they abandon obstacles to omniscience and attain the four bodies simultaneously.
Four bodies. Dharma kaya, rupa kaya, sambhuga kaya, and nirma kaya. That's four bodies. So now that completes the 10th class, okay? Madhu Melon traditions, Ningitigi, Sawa, Shedi Mata, Padinjinda, Kema, Shasaji, Tende Saji, Julu, Tubekus, Gindisunum, Chibekujodan, Zoba, Chandra, Devain, Dibe, Gawan, Dadan, Dog, Sundukuji, Companion to show. This is like dedications, people who funded for the printing wood block printing. This is all that we have, all the texts that printed on the wood block. So there are wood blocks like funded by Lama, also reincarnated Lama, Lama Nesu Gundisuno Chapel, that's Lama's name, and his like attendants, or maybe his like manager or attendants. So they fund it for the, like the, how you call, for the wooden block printing, also all the materials. And may they able to achieve the four kinds of enlightened beings. So then before that, there's like Lama Jesumba, he's saying that he is explaining in the Vita Beris, he's like writing this tenets in the brief, you know, like as a numistic, like with a few words, he's trying to explain those four tenet systems. Vivasika, Sastantika, mind only, then Madhyamanga. Explaining them individually, no, not mixing, individually explaining them. So that's the dedications. So now, tenet is officially finished. That depends on how many questions you can answer. Yeah, there's no, yeah, we can clap, so there's no, because we finished 10 minutes, so, yeah. Oh.
We don't.
I really wish that you'll give me a break next week. So imagine joking.
We just come for a little bit.
Yeah, I'll come. I'm just joking, I'm just joking. I'll come.
We're not ready for this to be the official end, because.
Yeah, next week I'll come. Yeah, definitely come. Yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Next week I'll come. So now, you know, while I was gone, debate will help and like gathering together, discuss, you know, talking back and forth, back and forth. During the debate, your face can be hard as Rocky Mountain, but important to remember, your heart has to be pure as White Mountain. It's not about who's winning, who's right, who's wrong. It's about learning the materials to set up, you know, other people who want. Who has interest to learn, so then we have a number of people can explain. Yeah, monastery, when you debate, you know, so everybody wants to understand, but, you know, so then, yeah, so everybody also like to win too. In that case, if you really want to win, you have to remember materials well. If you don't remember material well, you are not going to win the debate. So, if somebody makes a mistake, you say, okay, you are a mistake. It's not because I don't like what you say. It is not, debate is not like whether you like or not. Like, no, it's not about that. So that's not real debate. So you are saying, oh, you are wrong because your explanation goes against the materials. So in that case, you are able to quote, right? It says something, the definition is that, but your definition is wrong. So then the whole debate needs to be based on the materials. So then, you know, then person will go back and read and then find out, okay, what I said is kind of a mistake. Or maybe you have chance to interpret it. Interpret. No? Interpretations. You are allowed to give interpretations, you know. So then people not just read these materials. So I memorize all of them by heart, all memorizes. So I don't have to read books because I remember them, all the material by heart. So there's not just me, there's many people who come to class, they remember all materials, a lot of them remember. You know, some people have hard time memorizing, some people memorize, not that difficult, they can memorize. So I memorize that, and I memorize 70 something, so there's another text, this has 13 pages. So I used to remember every page, you know. So another one is like 70 or something. So the grounded path, I memorized all of that. That's the biggest text. It's like 24 something page, long page. I memorized that. I memorized this. And I memorized 70 topic or something, didn't you? There's three texts that we studied back to back, three texts. I memorized all of them. So then to keep my memory sharp, every night I say outside, I say loudly, I say one day, I say all of this by my, without looking at a book. Another day, I say, you know, another one. So then, especially when when we are debating on this particular topic, then every day I hear, to the class, I hear, so then the advantage of this, then you can read another commentaries. You don't spend any time here, you know, you all just remember by heart. Then you can, you know, people read all kinds of different commentaries. Commentary from Devu Monastery, commentary from Ganden Monastery, you know, each monastery. Our textbook, author of our textbook is called Lama Jetsenpa. So then the Sarache, then the Sarame, they also have 10 book written by different authors. Actually, that author is a student of Lama Tsongkhapa, Lama Jetsenpa. Lama Jetsenpa don't want him to write same book as he already read. Right. So Lama Jetsenpa wants him to write something different. So that because of the different interpretation, because of that, there's a lot of debate. So then people read from, you know, like the tenet from like Ganden Monastery, you know, there's another author. So then there's Ganden, there's like lost a link, just like Sera Chaitanya, Sera Monastery, Gandhin also has two. Devung also has two. Devung, there's lost a link, Gomang. The Gomang, they have like great tenet, just like 100 a page. Very detailed explanations. So, many, many pages, there's like non-Buddhist theory, right from the beginning, there's non-Buddhist philosophy. But a lot of pages. So then after that, you know, then like each, you know, system for like 35 pages long, very details. So then you have advantage of memorizing material, then you have advantage to read those materials. And when you debate, then you remember, like, the materials from other tenets, so then you debate, you know, so then you quote. Some of them say, if you quote the textbooks, they're written by, like, Serame Monastery, you know, the textbook. If you quote them, then they don't accept, you know. If you quote Lama Jizumba, of course they accept. If you quote Lama Tsongkhapa, they go Jashung, that means certain textbooks, it's agreed by all the monasteries, you know. You can quote them. You can say, oh, you are wrong, because you can quote, you know, you can quote Lama Tsongkhapa, Tenet, say something, something. Then you are, have opportunity, you can interpret it differently. Or you have to accept, you know, Jashung. So if you quote like textbook from Gandhian Monastery, right from the beginning, say, oh, that's different text, I don't accept, you can say. But it's it's okay to say, you know, it's okay, so I don't agree with that author, you can say. But if somebody quotes like Nagarjuna, Lama Tsongkhapa, Lama Atishas, then, you know, you or interpret it differently, or you accept. If you accept, then it goes against this material, so now you have problems. The one textbook is taught by Lama Tsongkhapa about tenet. One is taught by Lama Jizumba. Now there's clear contradictions. Now you have to interpret it. No? To make, you have to eliminate this. There will be no contradictions. But it seems very obvious there's contradictions. So now your job is to clear that, clear out the contradiction. Then you have to able to interpret it. So then you, if you interpret it, so then you will get away. If you don't interpret it, so then you lose it. You lose the debate. So then you wait another chance.
Of course, in my experience, contradictions mostly seem to be semantic, really.
What is semantic?
Contradiction between Vaibhashika and Prasangika in terms of objects.
Semantic means?
Perception. Excuse me, please.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because in the bottom line, there's no, even though it seems that there's contradictions, it's all method. Vibhasika, understanding of Vibhasika tenet is supposed to help you to understand Sarasantika systems. Sarasantika systems, understanding of that, supposed to help you to understand, this, like, what you call evolution. Evolution of our understanding of emptiness, our understanding of self, all of that can evolve, you know. So in the beginning, it's like child. So then you grow a little bit, and then you start.
So when we debate, can we just stay in the consequence school?
Huh?
Can we just stay in the consequence school?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Consequence school means like Pasangika.
Yeah.
Consequence school, that's what, the new name.
Yeah, it's much easier to pronounce. It's on all of our things.
So the most important, in order to have good debate, people, if you remember materials, there will be good debate, no? So there's productive debate. If there are people, don't, when they come to debate, if they don't remember materials, then they, you know, then people say all kinds of things. Then there will be not much interest in debate. then you are not going to get anywhere.
I don't know that we'll be knowing if we won or lost anything either. And I don't think we'll be fighting. We'll probably be laughing. But
no, that's good laughing. So one important thing to remember, the heart has to be pure as white mountains. The face can be, you know, hard as uneven as a rocky mountain, but that's fine. No, the heart has to be pure. It's not about right or wrong. So then, you know, the goal is to remember the materials in a long time. You know, so the more you debate, when you debate, you end up seeing one word a thousand times. That's how I remember some of those. It's been like 16 years. I never look at this book at all. Like, this is the only time so I'm reading. So I never, like last 15 years, I never read this again. So I only study. So some of it still are definitely I remember because I debate and I memorize that. And I probably recited that like 100 times without book, whole books many times. Like, then not just that, not then debate. Then therefore, certain definitions, certain divisions, I still remember. So that's the benefit of debate. Yeah. Thank you.
So would you please come back next week? Because we'll have maybe just a short time. Because then we'll have a little few, just a few follow-up questions.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, definitely I'll come. I'm happy to come back. So thank you, each one of you. So that you come so many times here. You know, I think that's good. Maybe it will help. So it becomes handy. So some you know, sometimes when you read books, then you say, oh, I'm grateful that I studied Tenet. So now, particularly when you go to the teachings of His Holiness, you will understand. Your understanding of teaching will be better.
One more question, if you don't mind. Sometimes when we do our study group, we have problems with logic and stuff, and that's kind of like a foundation for debates. Would it be beneficial for us over the summer where you're gone to look into logic or study logic?
So then you discuss. I think that's a good idea. You discuss. Okay. Maybe discuss with the group. So what's more beneficial? Yeah, thank you, each and every one of you coming to the class quite as regularly. So then the purpose of learning is to share. So, teaching this with experience, that means, you know, somebody who did a lot of meditation or emptiness, so they can teach the tenet with experience. Other than that, you know, so this is like all like, to many knowledge. You know? Yeah, so then maybe Chukila dedication, we can do our dedication. So,
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tai Chi Tai Chi Re So Ha.
Om Tai Chi Tai Chi Re So
Ha. Om Tai Chi Tai Chi Re So Ha. Om Tai Chi Tai Chi Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re So Ha.
Thank you.